This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson.
Okay, welcome back. I want to get back to this breaking news out of Japan. This is where we believe the impact took place.
Last weekend, reporters scrambled to cover the unfolding horror of Japan's earthquake and tsunami. A CNN correspondent said something that caught our attention.
Waves of debris. It's almost like a monster movie. Just seeing this stuff wiping out entire sections of the coastline is.
Bill Tsutsui happened to be visiting Tokyo.
We were outside this hotel and the earth started moving and all of a sudden people started running out. First just a few, but then wave after wave. And after it was over, one of my colleagues turned to me and said, you know, that reminded me of a Godzilla movie.
Professor Tsutsui, who is Japanese-American, wrote a book a few years ago called Godzilla on My Mind.
After having watched Godzilla movies for really my entire life, all of a sudden I felt in a way like I was inside one. And it felt very uncomfortable.
And he says that Japanese monster movies, like Godzilla, came directly out of the country's experience in World War II.
You know, the original Godzilla film was a very dark reflection on the horrors of nuclear war and the threat of nuclear holocaust in the future. It was not a kiddie film, as later films in the series became. It was very much geared towards adults, and it very much had a message. We have to pull back from the nuclear brink now, or we risk destroying our entire world.
And this is a theme that seems to keep coming up from Godzilla to Akira, the big breakthrough anime movie in 1988 about life after nuclear apocalypse.
You know, I think that that theme is always there. And if you look at the history of Japanese pop culture since World War II, one of the abiding characteristics is this imagination of disaster. That, in fact, is what Susan Sontag called it back in 1965. And it's continued up to the present. She described the modern world as being this unusual combination of unremitting banality and inconceivable terror. And the role of popular culture was to distract you, but also to prepare you for the inevitable apocalypse to come. And so the Japanese have very, very much participated in this.
Well, and you have this pop culture of the last half century depicting those kinds of things, depicting apocalypse and recovery and all that. But then the most famous piece of Japanese visual art from a long time ago is, of course, the giant tsunami wave, right?
Sure.
Hiroshige.
I mean, I think this has been a part of Japanese aesthetics for a very, very long time. Many know of the concept of mono no aware, which means sort of the pathos of things. It really captures that Japanese appreciation for the beauty of transience, the beauty of a passing season, a falling leaf, a dying flower. And that very much underlies the kind of pop culture sensibilities we see since World War II as well.
Well, even in the original Godzilla movie, Gojira, from in 1954, not long after the war, not long after the atomic bombs, there was this sense of, okay, there's an aftermath, and we will go on. We will rebuild.
You know, it's interesting. As many times as Tokyo gets destroyed in Japanese anime and on Japanese films, it also gets reborn. It gets rebuilt. And I think one of the great examples of that is the television series Ultraman. It started in the 1960s. It was made by the special effects genius Tsuburaya Eiji, who worked on the Godzilla films. And in that series, on a weekly basis, an alien descends upon Tokyo. The city is destroyed. You see it in flames. And yet, miraculously, the next week it is born again. There's this kind of self-healing quality to the city. And I think that really expressed the optimism which many Japanese people felt about the ability of their nation to bounce back.
And Japanese artists are already imagining classic anime characters dealing with the current crisis.
That's right. Yeah, there are a couple of manga artists who have been posting via Twitter. Twitter is quite popular in Japan. Posting images of sort of classic anime and television superheroes.
That's Roland Keltz. He's also Japanese-American, writes about Japanese pop culture, and teaches in Tokyo.
Such as Ultraman or Kamen Rider, who is a bicycle riding insect hero, insect-looking hero. And these characters from the Japanese popular cultural imagination are shown in these manga images, panels, out in the streets helping the refugees from the earthquake and helping the local services, local social service centers, put people into wheelchairs and get them into safety. So there's this idea that the Japan's superheroes, if you will, or Japan's icons of manga, anime, and television as well, are jumping into the act and to the rescue.
How interesting. I mean, it's one more piece of evidence of how deeply embedded in the national imagination, the popular imagination, these anime, manga superheroes are.
I think it also speaks to the animistic nature of Shinto. And so, you know, there are so many depictions of, for example, throughout centuries, the catfish swishing its tail back and forth. And one of the myths in Japanese culture is that this massive catfish swishing its tail causes earthquakes to occur. And it makes perfect sense, I think, now that the popular imagination is looking to these anime characters, animated figures, to come out of the woodwork and help.
Well, and I remember not long before the last Miyazaki film, Ponyo, where there was this incredible tsunami that happens, this anthropomorphized tsunami with with a sort of evil face coming at the characters.
Yeah, actually, it's it has eyes. The waves have these eyes that are quite hard to read. They're not necessarily menacing, although the storm itself is quite menacing. But this extraordinary image of these humps in the sea kind of rising up and down with these eyes on, and as the tsunami approaches the coast of Japan, and of course the main character and his mother are in an automobile racing to get away from the tsunami, which is an image that sadly showed up in real life on television just last Friday.
The fish are following us now!
Turn around, sit down!
I've never seen the ocean like this.
What Japan is living through now combines its primordial fears of earthquake and tsunami with the more recent experience of nuclear devastation.
The Japanese narrative tends to begin with the end of the world, as in classically in Akira, and then the story itself begins after the city is rebuilt or after the country is rebuilt. And the story is actually then itself a post-apocalyptic story, just as Japan after 1945 is arguably the first post-apocalyptic society.
Though I think one important aspect to keep in mind is that most young Japanese have no memory of World War II. They have no memory of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And these are things that have not been talked about in general in history classes or in polite society. So much of their knowledge of these traumas of the past have come through popular culture, through anime like Grave of the Fireflies, rather than through formal education.
Grave of the Fireflies is the anime movie about two young orphans in Japan who have to fend for themselves at the end of World War II. And what a beautiful and terribly sad movie that is. I'm not sure I'd ever seen my daughter cry so much as when we watched it.
I mean, I think it captures very well how even in the moments of greatest trauma, there can be moments of beauty. And I heard a story from one person from this current earthquake. He was living up in the hills to the north of Tokyo, and he lived in a cabin out in the woods. And when the earth started to shake, he went outside, and his house was surrounded by cedar trees. And the earthquake shook loose all of the pollen from the cedar trees, which was bright yellow. And so he described it as being like golden clouds floating over the hillsides. And so despite all the destruction taking place on the northeast coast of Japan, in his little corner of the Japanese universe, it was serenely beautiful.
Bill Bill Tsutsui is the author of Godzilla on My Mind and a dean at Southern Methodist University. We also heard from Roland Keltz, the author of Japan America.